Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at YouTube.com/Steven Larson.
And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it so you make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content.
Yes.
We're also available on the Patreon. Good news. Patreon has decided to rescind their new fee structure, so they're not going to be charging patrons any additional fees.
Great news.
So if you want to support Going In Raw, you can do so at the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 50 lovely friendos watching this podcast as a live stream, which you can do every single Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the $5 and up mark on the Patreon. And now, because they've rescinded that fee policy, if you elect to support Going In Raw to the tune of $5 a month, Larson, how much will you actually pay?
$5.
That's right. If you decide to support Going In Raw at the $7.77 mark, 77 cents mark.
What you just said.
Assuming you want to do
that.
Not
a cent more.
Not a cent more. That's how much you're going to be putting in.
So, yes. Good job, Patreon. Never really probably should change things in the first place.
Get my cup out of the way of my name here. There it is.
MF well, it's Steger. Not blocking it.
No, look, it's bleeding into it.
No, I understand.
So
don't
it's
hold
like,
it like this.
It's like MF what? Well, I know it was right here, though. But anyways.
I know who you are.
Also available at Pro Wrestling Tees. We have a bunch of shirts. Hey, if you don't want to do a monthly thing with Patreon, you can just buy a shirt.
Yeah.
Supporters. Look at that. Who like it? Hey. Hey.
All of them.
All these shirts. I mean, we have more than this. These three. Stop pressing buttons, Larson. Enough of that. Anyways, oh, quick shout out too to Fuego Box, FuegoBox.com. They sponsored yesterday's show.
Yeah.
If you want to support going, hey, if you want a great way to support Going In Raw, go to FuegoBox.com. It's like a monthly hot sauce.
Yeah, we got our first shipment today. I'm excited to give it a try.
Very exciting. Yeah, just visit them if you like hot sauce. Who doesn't like hot sauce? Everybody likes hot sauce, right? Visit the FuegoBox.com. If you want to get a discount, put in Raw 1 and get $10 off some hot sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So we're on the road to Clash of the Champions,
no,
Larson.
Clash of Champions.
What?
It's Clash of the Champ, Clash of the Champions in the NWA WCW days. But now
we're not going to see Magnum TA fight
Tully Blanchard.
No.
No Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat in a best 2 out of 3 falls match. None of that.
Can't have everything, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
We should say, though, that we are going to live stream our reactions to Clash of Champions Sunday, starting at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah, so join us if you'd like.
Are we going to...
No, we're not going to show the TV at any time.
Really? Not this time we're not going to do that?
No.
We don't usually do that, do we?
We never do it.
We've never done that.
We never will.
We've never shown...
And we never will.
...an illegal broadcast.
No.
Because that could get us... demonetized.
Or worse, suspended.
Oh, whoa, we'd have to go to VidMe. Oh, we can't anymore. They're done.
What about Vessel? No, they're gone too.
Wow. Vessel. I forgot about Vessel.
What about... Wait, Vimeo's gone?
No, Vimeo's not gone.
Oh,
VidMe.
Okay.
It's called VidMe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we could do Vimeo.
Or Daily Motion. Are they still around?
Can we just put it on Facebook? Like Mixed Match Tag Challenge?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Mixed Match Challenge?
Yeah.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. Is Daily Motion still a thing?
Yeah, I think it is. That's where I get all like, if I want to watch an old episode of Raw and I don't want to go on the network, I just go there.
Oh, okay.
If I want to watch anything, basically, that... I don't think any... I think nobody watches Daily Motion, so nobody really... They don't get copyright takedowns.
No.
I don't think so. It's like the Wild West sometimes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's talk about SmackDown.
Talk about SmackDown.
There were some interesting developments.
There were some fun bits.
Tomorrow. Oh, look at that. There's the Patreon email.
I saw that too.
We messed up. We're sorry and we're not rolling out the fee change.
Thank you.
That's a great subject line right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, we're doing our predictions tomorrow. Official predictions tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going up tomorrow. We actually already did them.
Yeah, we filmed them this morning. Nice. Good for us. Where's the stupid thing?
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, you see that I'm struggling over here. I'm tagging out, man.
Okay.
Tagging out. You
so
go.
So the show kicked off with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn backstage, passing out flyers to people kind of milling about in the backstage area. The flyer said
all low-level writers.
Yeah, that they were going to stage an Occupy SmackDown protest tonight to protest the tyranny of one Shane McMahon.
They had
Daniel Bryan yes shirts, but with P's over the S's, so it just said yep, yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Bryan's logo was still in the back.
Oh, somebody here, Sergio C, in our Patreon chat has a good suggestion. He says, can we stream the pay-per-view on Twitch? We could do it like that one kid did it, the UFC one, where we can get a green screen behind us, put us in the corner, act like we're playing 2K7.
I have a feeling they're going to catch on to that.
Probably.
Now that was so well publicized.
I wonder if that guy got super suspended off his channel, whatever his channel is.
It's a possibility.
Anyways.
Pretty clever, though.
So there
it was a really good idea.
It's a great idea.
It's
a great hilarious. Idea.
It's great.
It's great. Occupy SmackDown was what they were handing out. So that was, we're going to find out what that was all about later on. Next up, AJ Styles comes out. Did you notice? I know we've talked about this off camera, but I'm going to act like this is the first time I'm asking you.
As am I.
Did you notice, Larson, that AJ Styles has a new WWE Championship title?
Say what?
Yeah. The red stripe is now black.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, they decolorized it.
Did he drop it backstage and all the red gems pop out?
Is that what the red stripe was made up of?
Yeah, I think so.
Individual gems?
I thought so.
Or was it just like an
enamel?
I thought it was an enamel.
Oh, maybe that could fall out too.
No, it could all fall out. If it's not on there.
Well, it wouldn't be one piece. It'd be three pieces because it's broken up by the
logo. Well, I don't know if
it'd
be his fault. Remember when we
interviewed him? There was a handler that handled the belt.
There was a title handler.
Yeah.
Maybe he was that guy.
Could be.
That guy was just sitting there. Sometimes you do some busy work with your hands. You're like picking at something on the table.
Bits of business.
Bit of business. You're just sitting there. What if he was doing that with the WWE Championship?
And the whole red stripe
came off and he was like, well, it's black underneath. Let me just. I don't know, AJ. Vince wanted it this way.
Looks great, huh?
Vince. Oh, no. I lost my cards.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so
anyway. Second time today. So AJ Styles comes out to start the show with a promo.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd loves AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
He is really comfortable in his current face role.
Mm-hmm.
He's very charming, very charismatic.
He is so over.
Very relatable.
He's so great. When he eventually goes to Raw, when he gets the call up to Raw, people are going to mark out so hardcore. That's going to happen eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Next 3 years. I love that he's the guy that built SmackDown and everything, but he is... come on, man. He's their biggest freaking star.
Oh, yeah.
Like, regular, full-time star. It's AJ Styles, number one. And that's the only reason it's on Raw is because...
He would compete too much with Roman Reigns.
Exactly. Anytime he'd even breathe close to Roman Reigns, people would start booing Roman Reigns because he's not AJ Styles.
Yeah.
He's so great. I love AJ Styles to death. And it's crazy that he's, like, one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's not mm-hmm. just some dude.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. He comes out. He starts cutting an amazing promo. His promo's great, too.
Yeah. He seems way more comfortable in this particular
role
that he's in now.
Yeah. Because
when he was a heel, his promos were still fine. But it was partially because I think we both thought that he's maybe too good of a guy to
I honestly think that he can't.
And also, the crowd just embraced him too much as a face because everybody loved him.
It was kind of a conundrum because it's like, I know this isn't going to work with you people because, he can't get real heel heat because it's AJ Styles. He's just naturally likable and he's the best guy in any ring. So he comes out and he cuts a promo. The Singh brothers, they have music.
Yeah, they have their own Titantron.
They have their own Titantron. They came down. I was cracking up.
Oh, this was great.
They're great because they said, AJ, we want to be in your corner.
Well, before that, they said, usually we come out here, we introduce Jinder Mahal, but we're not going to do that today, and here's why. So they showed the aftermath of the match last week when Jinder gave him both Colossus.
Right.
And it cuts back to the ring, and AJ's like, okay, well, I think I know where you're going with this. Come on in, hug it out, guys.
Yeah.
And so the Singh brothers turn to each other, and they hug each other.
Yeah.
And AJ's, no.
Not
no,
you.
No, don't hug each other. Come in the ring.
Me.
We will hug it out. And so he gives
them
both. They're
kind of dullards.
I know. He gives them both side hugs.
Yeah.
And one of them wanted a full hug, and he's like, no. AJ's like, no, that's fine. That's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Singh brothers were talking about how they're not in Jinder's corner anymore.
Right. They're all talking crap about him. They're like, yeah, we don't care about the modern-day Maharaja.
Like he would stay in a five-star hotel, and we had to stay in a motel off the highway.
Right, yeah.
And AJ would chime in every now and again in response to what they were saying. And they said the absolute worst is when we had to kiss Jinder's feet.
Yeah, they said it. What they said his feet smelled like a combination of cheese and something else.
Garlic.
And Wasn't it like garbage and cheese or something like that? Or it was a couple of food products.
Yeah, I remember cheese and garlic.
Okay.
Chicken something.
Yeah.
Because AJ said cheese and garlic and chicken.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was really funny. And then AJ's like, I don't trust you guys because look at that. And he shows pictures from the tour, the India tour, where they were still...
Butter chicken.
There you go. Where they were still firmly in his in Jinder's corner, yeah, doing his bidding. They were still firmly on Jinder's side.
Yeah.
Which, and they said, wait, well, you know, that was, he's like, dude, social media is everywhere these days. It's established, Larson. It's firm. House shows are now canon.
Hold on. House shows are canon when they're acknowledged on WWE programming.
No, man.
Or on their social media properties. But if WWE Twitter does not report on a house show, it is not canon.
I think, okay, but if something happens that goes viral and it's out of their hands, it becomes canon.
As I say, because at that point, their social media properties will report on it, and therefore, yes, it is.
Oh, man, I don't know. I think they are acknowledging now that what they do on house shows is canon. I think that's kind of a big deal.
Big turn. I still think it's...
We have the scoop here. Ooh.
It's a gray area, man.
Yeah. Here we are. We're one of the dirt sheets. So anyways, they said, and you know, so yeah, their gambit has been exposed.
Yes.
So then Jinder Mahal comes down.
Yeah, he comes down. AJ tosses the Singh brothers from the ring. Jinder gets up on the apron. He and AJ argue a bit.
Yeah.
Jinder gets off the apron, checks on the Singh brothers, and AJ holds the belt to end the segment.
Yeah.
Next, Charlotte in a 1-on-1 match against Ruby Riott.
Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
There's
a couple botched spots in this match.
A little sloppy, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Ruby's a really good wrestler.
Charlotte's good too, yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to have immediate chemistry.
No, not at all. I understand all that.
It's all right. It's all good. I still feel like the Riott squad, because they debuted literally a day after Absolution, which I think has been done really, really well.
Yeah.
There's no choice but to compare the progress.
Yeah,
it
kind of feels like a copycat situation where they're kind of doing a copy and paste on the other brand show.
Yeah, a little bit, but just with the Riott squad, it's just not – it's not as powerful. It's not as impactful. You don't get the idea there's some big threat happening.
Well, I think part of it too, as much as we both like Ruby Riott a lot, Paige has legacy.
Yeah.
And with that brings some weight.
Look, Ruby Riott's good as a heel and everything, but Paige just brings something. You're right. It's probably legacy. She's also just really good as a heel. Ruby Riott doesn't really change anything except for being a bit more like superficially heel.
Yeah.
But Paige, when she gets in there, she starts like, I don't know.
Well, here's the other thing too. Paige comes out with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville's part of her thing is the MMA gimmick.
Yeah.
But doesn't really, you know, she just seems like she's tough.
Yeah, right.
She fights.
Yeah.
But on, Sarah Logan is just kind of saddled with a gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And it just, I don't know, she doesn't seem as tough as she probably and Liv Morgan's got the colorful ring gear and stuff.
Liv Morgan doesn't look tough at all.
No, and it's kind of neither of Ruby Riott's cohort seemed tough.
And on top of that, I think that Absolution went a long way in establishing some motivation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Paige has come back to reclaim her house.
We still know why Riott squad's around.
I mean, if your point is you're coming in here to make an impact and vault all three of you to the top of the card, that's fine. But why does that make you a bad guy? You know what I mean? And that's sort of the difference, is that there's a crystal clear reason for why Paige is a bad guy, and there's not really a reason for why the Riott squad is like bad.
Other than just making an impact.
Right, exactly. I kind of feel like after, probably if they do a Women's Rumble, which I hope they do.
Yes.
I feel like after that, they will probably settle into being less of a faction and more just sort of integrating.
Individual competitors, yeah.
Into the roster, yeah. Natalia was on commentary.
At a certain point, action gets to the outside. Natalia gets in Charlotte's face a little bit. Charlotte hits her. And then Natalia responds with a clothesline.
Which means DQ.
Yep, Charlotte wins by DQ. Then the Riott squad attacks Charlotte.
Yeah.
They set her up for the spot underneath the ring steps like they did to Naomi, who returns to make the save.
Mm-hmm.
Does a cool double drop kick to Liv and Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
Riott squad heads up the ramp and is met by the rest of the women's division. Again, you know, like the harken to Raw this past week. where the same thing happened to Absolution, where they're attacked by the entirety of the women's division.
Yeah.
So this is all setting up for Women's Rumble.
Kind of weird. They're just like mirroring.
I know.
You know? Why are you doing that?
I mean, if there was a larger purpose to it, I'd be cool with
it. Right,
if
they were all on the same page across brands, that'd be interesting.
That would be, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan was backstage. He was approached by,
No, he was just backstage on the phone talking to Shane, saying, Shane, everything will go fine tonight.
Yeah.
Owens and Zayn come in the room and leave one of the flyers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
On his desk.
Yeah.
Propped up against a couple bottles of water.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan grabs it, looks at it, and that's it. Next, Dolph Ziggler versus... Hey,
buy my shirt. Hey,
not me, Baron Corbin.
You're not me.
With Bobby Roode, with Bobby Roode in his robe for some reason on commentary.
It'd be one thing if the robe was like comfortable.
It just seems very heavy. Asked him,
is that robe actually comfortable?
How much does it weigh? How much do you think it weighs?
I don't know.
30 pounds?
You think it's as much as 30?
There's a lot of sequins on there.
I was going to say 15, and even
there's
that's on the heavy side.
There's a lot of sequins on there, man.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
That stuff's heavy.
30 pounds.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Man,
it's like thick fabric, too.
Could be.
They're not light.
No. Yeah, I don't know, man. We harp on this every single week, but it bugs me every single week when I see him. Like, you should never sit down in a glamorous robe like that. I should never see you sitting down. But he sat down at commentary. Wear a suit.
I know.
Like, do you see how quickly they're killing the Glorious Thing?
Very quickly.
Because it wasn't the Glorious Thing. It was Bobby Roode with the Glorious Thing.
And now they're just making it all about the Glorious Thing.
Yeah. They're killing
it. It's just, and that's what I said when he first came out. It's like they hear his song, people sing along. Vince thinks Glorious is over, and that's what's going to get Bobby Roode over. And he's got it completely backwards. Glorious is over because Bobby Roode was so good.
I don't know where this was. Well, he wasn't being rammed down people's throats. Like, he's so awkward. He just needs to be himself. Somebody posted a picture. It was like, you know, they do memes these days. It's like a picture that they find randomly, and it says, you know, when my parents say something
Well,
it said something like, when my parents say I'm going to grandma's house this weekend. And like, it was a picture of Bobby Roode smiling, but it's obviously a very, very apprehensive
force smile. Yeah.
Exactly. Internet makes me laugh sometimes.
Yeah. So he's on commentary. Dolph and Baron are engaged in a very brief match that has like a totally devastating spot within 2 minutes. And Bobby Roode gets up and says, now, if you excuse me, gentlemen, I got to go do something. Takes his robe off, gets in the ring, and gives glorious DDTs to both Dolph and Baron.
Yeah.
Pretty much what Dolph did last week.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I don't know. I know, like, it. I don't know. I can feel this road. I know where this roadmap is. I know exactly where everything's going. I don't have to look it up on GPS.
No.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe they'll put on a good match at Clash.
I hope so.
I feel like Clash is just another. Is this an extended SmackDown episode?
It's like an episode of Wild Card Final.
Whoa! Hey, Wild Card
Final. Wild Card Final is a really good episode of SmackDown.
It was actually a really good episode. Yeah.
So we can hope that Clash lives up to the Wild Card Final.
Maybe we'll be surprised. Hey, there was something positive after this. The Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, took on Colin Delaney, an ECW alum.
How does that theme song go again?
I can hear it, but I can't recreate it.
Isn't that weird?
It's so strange. And then Joe Monroe. These two opponents for the Bludgeon Brothers just exuded character.
Oh, it was great.
It was great, and Joe Monroe screamed.
That was, it was
when
fantastic.
He got power bombed.
It was a very loud, very high pitched.
It was great.
It was like a Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, it was.
It was like a woman's Wilhelm scream.
It was great.
It was awesome. And they dismantled these people.
They haven't named the Bludgeon Brothers finisher yet, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They're getting kind of.
Oh, I'm huge. Remember how anti we were? I'm huge in their favor now. Are you?
I like Luke Harper a lot. So
I like squash matches.
Yeah, I do too.
Man, you give some love to Eric Rowan, please.
I don't dislike Eric Rowan.
He takes slaps in the face from Harper.
I know. Luke Harper is the Shawn Michaels of that tag team.
Oh, man. I've got an unwatched episode of Damnation featuring Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Sitting on my Sony View, my PlayStation View service.
Yes.
Nice. I'm going to watch that tonight when Lacey gets home. It's not a good show. It's a show that's good enough that you want to keep watching it. But it's also, you can make fun of it a lot.
Mm.
It's a lot of weird. Like, one of the lead characters has this Adam Cole-esque bump in the middle of his forehead. It's not story motivated. It's just the actor has it.
Oh, okay.
And then Lacey was like, dude, I can't listen to anything he says because he has this lump on his head. And then she looked it up. And like there were multiple internet threads like on various platforms saying, what the hell is that thing on his head?
what time frame does that show take place?
What, Prohibition?
Okay. So 30, early 19th century?
The 30s.
Oh, 30s? Okay.
The 30s, yeah.
19th century, 20th century. Sorry. Well, it had
been,
early
the, 1900s. It had been the early 1930s.
Okay.
Because Prohibition ended, what, 33?
Something like that.
32.
It was instituted, what, 1918?
20.
20.
It was around for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that crazy that for like over a decade, weird. People weren't allowed legally to drink?
Yeah.
They were drinking a lot, though.
Oh, yeah.
And monetized. Well, anyways.
Anybody actually stopped drinking. They go to speakeasies.
Start making our own.
I know.
Oh,
so after the Bludgeon Brothers beat Colin Delaney and Joe Monroe, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn attempted to occupy SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped the promo. And then they said, all right, everybody backstage, come on out. Let's occupy SmackDown now.
Yeah, they're trying to recreate what Daniel Bryan
did.
Yes
movement, the Occupy Yes movement. Raw, which led to him getting to WrestleMania main event.
But this was the Yep movement.
Yeah.
And nobody came out. But then there was an awkward moment. So Daniel Bryan saunters out, stands there, and then his music hits.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then he started doing the Yes thing down the ramp. That was weird. That was going to be on Botchamania.
Maybe.
It should. It was a botch. In what world is that not a botch?
I didn't know if they were trying to like put some dramatic beat there where he just kind of wanders out in silence. So people are like, oh, Daniel Bryan's coming out. What is he going to do? Like, what's his motivation for being out here? And then the music hits. That's reading too much into it, probably.
I think it is, yeah.
But that's what I thought at first.
Like, here's the thing. If it was you and me booking the show, I could see that as being an idea that we put on the table and say, okay, what about this? What if he comes out and people are like, oh, wow, it's really heavy. And then his music hits and we know, oh, he's actually kind of into this maybe.
Yeah.
But I think that that's
or just have him walk out without his music.
Yeah. I think Vince just said, walk out there now. He's like, my music hasn't played yet. That's okay. And then he walks out and they're like, now play his music. Okay, Vince, you're all over the map with this, man.
I know.
Are we okay? No.
Are we good?
Are we good? Yeah. Are we good? No.
No.
Anyways, yeah. So he comes down there and then he says, guys, it was never about me. It was about
the WWE universe.
All those people.
And then Sami Zayn goes, what we're doing is the exact same thing, except it is just all about us and what we want.
That's right.
It was good.
That's right.
So Daniel Bryan trying to kind of, you know, lessen the worries of Owens and Zayn about Shane McMahon screwing them over at Clash of Champions said, you know, I have Shane's back, and I like to think that he has mine. That's the arrangement we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna be the second special guest referee in the match at Clash of Champions. So if you lose, you lose because you lost, not because someone made you lose. Essentially, so you will win or lose based on your own merits. You won't be screwed out of it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of the intriguing aspect of things.
I feel like it's really the only intriguing aspect of the storyline is how is Daniel Bryan going to be involved in this main event?
Right, yeah. There's nothing else. There's really nothing else going on.
No.
Well, not just how will he be involved in the main event, but going forward, because it feels like, I mean, they can't have him straddle the line for, look, it's a WWE, they can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like it'd be weird if they just had him straddle the line endlessly for the next, you know, building to the Rumble or Mania or whatever they're building to. I feel like he has to align himself, right?
Well, I mean, his approach so far is he appreciates Owens and Zayn's talent.
He doesn't want them to be screwed. He feels like Shane is overreaching.
Yeah, and
with his authority.
But nonetheless, he's not necessarily doing Owens and Zayn any favors backstage.
Right.
In terms of...
He hasn't joined them because...
No. Yeah. I mean, like, the couple times that Shane has punished them, he's not rescinded the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, like, Owens was handcuffed to the rope last week.
Right.
Daniel Bryan was the guy that said, nope, that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So he it's feel, not like he's feels obviously this, aligned with anybody.
He feels
point.
This weird... He feels this kinship with them because they all have a shared past on the indie circuit. He's, you know, he considers them brethren or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But... He's trying to protect their best interests, and he's kind of trying to protect them from themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's saying...
And at the same time, protecting SmackDown as a brand, because if you lose two top-flight talents, that's going to lessen...
Right, exactly.
SmackDown as a brand.
But I kind of feel like they just need to run with him being all in on them.
Yeah.
Because I just... Number one, I want to see that Daniel Bryan. I don't want to see a Daniel Bryan who's always so diplomatic and always so, you know, good guy-ish.
That's what's going to be, though. Shane's going to be the one that's going to probably...
You think this... What is the end game there, though? I mean, is that where you think it's going to go? Sammy and Kevin are going to be flipped to faces because...
I mean, it's got to happen unless they turn on Daniel Bryan. And somehow there's a weird...
There's already zero motivation for... We talk about this on predictions, which is weird because we already filmed it. But there's already zero motivation for Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura to really take this match.
I know.
I mean, what does that say about... Let's just step away from like the ridiculousness of the WWE. And I know it's difficult to do. But like, what does that say about you as competitors that you really want to get in the ring and make two of your fellow competitors, two of your fellow, you know, workers...
Yeah, unemployed.
...lose their jobs?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a very face thing to do. And I know we're talking about Randy Orton, who's burned down a guy's house and has remained face in the eyes of Vince McMahon. But like, storyline-wise, that's a massive leap in logic right there.
Yeah, and it seems like the only person who's still hung up on what happened to Survivor Series is Shane McMahon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, there's... And his whole strategy for going to Survivor Series was stupid anyways.
I know.
Like, why are you on the team?
I know. I know.
Like, you have kept...
You even won a match and you came back. You weren't exactly a top-flight wrestler before.
Look, hey, say what you will about Kurt Angle. The dude goes by win-loss records.
True.
And if you're his son.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, you know, what is, you know, all but Shane least, McMahon does
Kurt,
is...
At least Kurt Angle's son is a wrestler. Shane McMahon's not a wrestler.
Right, exactly. How is he the face of this situation?
He's not.
Yet he's aligned with Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura. How are they facing? They even gave an interview last night where they were like, you know, so what's the deal with this? And Randy Orton was like, they're self-entitled. So they should lose their jobs? So, you know, crap in their duffel bag.
Suspend them. Fine them.
Exactly. Rib them. Play a prank on them.
Do the what happened to Triple H in 96 after the curtain call.
Right, exactly.
They just lose for a year.
Lose to the Warrior in a couple
there
seconds.
There you go.
The padlock, do what they do with the Road Warriors. No, it was the Steiners did to Jim Cornette's duffel bag or briefcase, suitcase, whatever it was, and padlock it to the ground. Was it funny? Yeah. He coughs. I watch too many shoot interviews, man.
So they're losing to see what their happens. Jobs. I know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all this at Clash. That's literally the only intrigue is how Daniel Bryan plays in the whole scenario because Owens and Zayn aren't getting fired.
The roles are so weird here.
I know, and
the
I feel like they're going for complexity. Like,
the more we talk about it, the more I'm just
and I say
puzzled.
This on prediction, it seems like they're going for complexity, but it just seems convoluted.
there's a lot of stretching going on here. A lot of stretching, lots of leaps in logic and leaps in character. Like, why does Shinsuke care about... Like, Shinsuke...
He was already eliminated from the Survivor Series match by the time Owens and Zayn came out.
Right, exactly.
He was the first person eliminated. That's a whole other issue is why Nakamura seemingly can't win anything now.
Right, yeah. Yeah. He's about to lose it at Clash, too. Yep. I don't know, man. This is kind of
I hope Orton takes that pin at Clash because...
I think Shinsuke is going to be taking that pin.
Yeah, probably.
He was the first man eliminated at the Survivor Series.
I know, and Orton's going to win the Rumble, so they can't make him look weak.
Orton's going to win
the more
I
think about that, man, it's so going to happen.
Orton winning the Rumble?
Yeah, or at least Orton AJ at Mania.
No, because come on, they're not going to have two faces going to Mania.
No, Orton will turn heel. He wants to turn heel.
Orton's going
to
turn heel?
And how, like, if the crowd loves AJ so much, they will boo if... Orton
oh,
like,
you think
is like really dastardly?
Yeah,
they will boo Orton.
What is he going to do? Burn Orton down AJ's house? Oh wait, he's done that before. Like, what more could you really do?
I don't know. They'll find something.
Kick his is AJ's dad still around? Going to kick his dad in the head?
I don't know.
Did you see the picture of Aleister Black's dad on Instagram?
No.
Well, you keep talking. I'm going to bring it up because I was like, "Who is that?" It looks like an old Aleister Black, and then sure enough, it was his dad.
After that, we had Rusev and Aiden English take on the Usos. New Day were on commentary with more pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden English sings a bit more of the 12 Days of Rusev. Usos come out, drop a promo. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable come out and drop a promo as well. that was really overwritten.
Yeah.
Decent enough match. Aiden English picked up the win over, I think, Jimmy Uso with his finisher, thus solidifying that Rusev and English will not win a Clash of Champions.
Right.
At least that's my take.
No, my take. It looks like Silas Young.
That is quite a handlebar mustache, though.
That is, I know it is. Here's another picture. That's his dad? Wait. Is that actually his dad?
You're getting way off base, man.
I'm confused now. Is that actually his dad?
I don't know.
It says pro wrestler.
Was his dad a wrestler?
We celebrate the birth of AKA my pops. Is that actually his dad? That guy looks like our age. That's not, he can't be his dad.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, crap.
Oh, dear.
I don't know who that guy is. Now I'm confused.
Let's get back to SmackDown, man.
Let me say I'm celebrating the birth of my pops. I'm going to have a picture of my dad there.
You think so?
Weird Aleister Black.
Yeah, I don't know.
Confusing us all.
Very confusing.
Mind games.
So we talk about in our predictions who we think is going to win the tag titles, but I don't, it's not going to be Rusev and English.
I think it is going to be Rusev and English. Oh, so we're not going to talk about our predictions.
All right, that's the end of it. Next, right. AJ Styles about to give an interview, and he's attacked by Jinder Mahal.
Jinder's awesome. I don't care what people say. I love Jinder Mahal.
You know, the great suit.
I know.
I love about the shirt choice, but the suit was nice.
Oh, I loved it all, man. The shirt was ugly as sin, but, man, it looks great on him.
Yeah.
Because he wears, like, a one size too small. Like, it's basically like a painted bodysuit on him. It's body paint.
Yeah.
It looks great on
him. Yeah, the suits are always top notch.
Looks fantastic. It'd be kind of confusing if he came out just in body paint.
Yeah,
it's like, is that his dick and balls? That's weird. It's all painted. Who had to paint that? Sunil or Sue? What's the other guy? Sunil and Sunir.
Sunir?
Sunir,
yeah. Sunir
and Sunil?
Yeah.
Which one got the tackle? Anyways.
And then finally, our main event, the artist, Shinsuke Nakamura against Kevin Owens.
Oh, God.
You mentioned the interview beforehand that Orton did.
When Shinsuke goes back to New Japan, are we all just going to be sitting here thinking, man, they had him for 3 years, and what did they do with him?
I know. I think that every episode of SmackDown now when I watch.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
When he goes back and challenges Okada.
A massive return to New
challenges
Japan.
Challenges Okada for chaos leadership.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be spectacular.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be really good. Daniel Bryan was on commentary, and there was an interesting dynamic during the whole match between Daniel Bryan and the commentary team, specifically Byron Saxton.
Yeah, this is cool.
They're really going at it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because Byron seemed to be in complete agreement with how Shane has approached things and kind of questioning how Daniel Bryan has gone about things.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan, or maybe it was Corey Graves, was saying, well, you have trust and faith in Shane McMahon's decision-making skills. Why not trust Daniel Bryan as well? They're both your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because Saxton's rationale, if I remember correctly, was like, well, Shane's my boss, so I would assume that he would know what's best for the company, so I will, trust that my boss knows what's best.
Yeah.
But apparently, and then Daniel Bryan was talking about his history with Nakamura being roommates back in the early aughts, taking on Kevin Owens in front of 300 people somewhere, and Kevin Owens trying to gouge his eye out and detaching his retina and stuff like that. So Daniel Bryan was actually doing a really good job of fleshing out the backstory between everybody in the ring and himself.
I feel like he's the only one who kind of...
actually telling a story that's in any way cohesive.
I feel like Owens and Sami Zayn do too, but I kind of feel like they're handcuffed by the WWE because... I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with their punishment. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe they're really afraid to go off script now.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling.
Because you have Owens and Zayn, who are both great. They're both great with character and mic work and stuff. And yet, especially the last 3 weeks, their segments have just kind of fell flat.
I feel like they're walking on eggshells. That's the impression I get.
Could be.
It used to, like, remember when Sammy first turned heel? They felt very loose.
Yeah.
And then ever since the punishment, maybe I'm projecting, I don't know.
It's felt very rigid.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning. It's like this feud is involving one of my favorite wrestlers currently wrestling, one of my favorite wrestlers ever,
mm-hmm.
in Owens and Bryan. And yet, the story does not seem terribly captivating at all.
Well, it's the other side of it.
Shane is a black hole of charisma.
Because, he's a black hole of charisma, number one. But number two, it's like, okay, I know how the McMahons do this stuff. Shane's going to be a complete prick. he's going to be totally should be the heel in the situation, but he's probably not going to end up being like, they're going to think that, oh yeah, because Owens and Zayn are heels, we should want Shane. We should be on Shane's side for wanting to fire them. Like everybody, like all the normal people, everybody watching this live stream right here, everybody that's watching is probably on the same page as us. Like, no, that's kind of a, that's like a prick thing to do. Like, that's actually a heel thing.
Yeah.
But I just get the feeling that WWE is going to pull one of those things where, yeah, no, the face is totally the guy who should be the prick here.
Well, I mean, it's not just that Shane wants to fire him. That's understandable, but then just fire him.
Mm-hmm.
There's this whole thing where now he wants him to suffer.
Yeah.
Before firing him. And it's like, no, that's screwed up.
Yeah.
If you want him fired, just fire him. I know Daniel Bryan kind of interceded when Shane was on the verge of doing it. But really, if you're commissioner of SmackDown, you're the top guy
yeah.
on that show with final authority, then just do it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll be pleasantly surprised if the chips fall where like they kind of should fall. Like Shane being, you know,
kind of mad with power.
It's another McMahon yeah. authority angle, but I'm kind of, you know, we haven't seen a heel Shane in 20 years.
Yeah.
So I kind of wouldn't mind seeing that. I kind of wouldn't mind seeing if he can kind of channel that sort of jerk persona, that jerk rich kid persona that he was so good at
back
in the day.
The Mean Street Posse.
Bring back the Mean Street Posse. I kind of want to see if he can channel that into a compelling authority figure. I'm fine with authority figures. I mean, are they overdone? Sure. The McMahon's overdone? Sure. But whatever. Yeah. We deal with it. I'm kind of interested to see if he'll do that. And if they can turn Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I'm not going to say face, but enough face, sort of tweener, I guess.
Well, anti-authority.
I still say that if anybody is the heir apparent to Stone Cold.
It's Kevin Owens, yeah.
Absolutely 100% Kevin Owens. And I think there's a lot of money being left on the table because they haven't really done that yet.
Yep. Match itself between Nakamura and Owens is decent enough.
You remember when he freaking headbutted Vince McMahon?
I know, that was shocking.
I mean, come on, man. If that's not a passing of the torch in a way, maybe that's what they're doing right now.
Maybe. Just taking their time with it.
Yeah.
There was a ref bump when Nakamura got out of the way of an Owens punch. So Owens inadvertently punched a ref. Daniel Bryan gets up from commentary, puts on the referee jersey.
Yep. Suits up.
Gets in the ring, counts the pinfall when Nakamura kicks Owens. Zayn hops on the apron, about to get in the ring. While Nakamura is getting ready for Kinshasa, distracts him.
Yeah.
Nakamura focuses on Zayn. Owens takes advantage, wins with a pop-up powerbomb.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of suspect it's going to play out more or less the same way at Clash of Champions.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. Yeah, kind of odd that they would play that out kind of the way we suspect they're going to do that at Clash.
Yeah, I kind of thought they would. Because the whole time, you know, especially afterwards, the commentary team is like, well, does this mean that Daniel Bryan's, you know, in league with Owens and Zayn?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of convoluted.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I kind of feel like there's going to be some amount of clarification come Clash of Champions on the following SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, I am interested. I think that the role of, like, the role that Orton and Shinsuke find themselves in right now, for me, is kind of the worst. Like the biggest casualty of this entire thing, because it's like that they're supposed to care about this. They're supposed to want their fellow workers to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Like what are you talking about?
Maybe Shinsuke wants Owens and Zayn to go to New Japan too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So he thinks, when I leave in a year and a half, they can join me in Chaos.
New Chaos. He forms a splinter Chaos group.
New Chaos.
Well, he's the original Chaos guy.
Oh, sorry. Original Chaos.
So he makes original Chaos. Yeah, but it is kind of new Chaos.
And then there's division within current Chaos. Like Yano wants to go with Yano wants to Nakamura go to Ishii.
New old Chaos.
But then you got like Roppongi 3K who only knows new Chaos.
Yeah, right.
So they want to stay new Chaos.
Ospreay and Jericho are torn because they're like, I don't even know.
What about Yoshihashi? Where does he fall in all this?
Who? Bullet? Oh, Loose Explosion?
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about him for a very long time. Now I'm kind of upset that you just brought him up because now I have to
Mission
think about
accomplished,
Loose Explosion. Damn you again.
Yeah.
Let's open some mail.
Okay, I'll do this one.
Oh, there was an interview at the end. Should we have mentioned that?
Yeah, that's pretty much...
Renee Young was milling about at the top of the...
Yeah, Owens is bragging about them winning.
Yeah. You guys can send us stuff, too. At P.O. Box 1842. I keep on getting more stuff in the mail. It's crazy. 1814 Orangevale, California, 95662. It's in the description down below, too. Sometimes people ask me on Twitter, where do you guys send things to? It's in the description of every video we do.
Every video.
I don't know how to open this. Ah, here we go.
Strength.
Look at that.
Power.
Manliness.
Yeah.
Try to achieve Drew McIntyre levels of manliness, Steve.
I don't know if that's even possible.
This is from John LaRoche.
John LaRoche.
At least that's what it says on the address label. Oh, we got some toys in here. Oh, man.
What the heck?
The Badass Billy Gunn.
Oh, you the didn't Road Dog know?
Man, they made Road Dogg buff.
Oh, yeah, this is Too Tough 5. Oh, the fifth series of the Too Tough.
Look at Road Dogg. He's
did
ripped.
Did Billy Gunn ever wear a shirt that said, come get some?
No, I think that's generic WWE shirts.
Where does this tape end and where does it begin?
Oh, there's more.
Nice.
Oh, look at Vince McMahon bend them.
Oh, let me see. Oh, look at that.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Bend them.
Bend them. What? That's actually a relatively good. This is not a good Vince face, but this is actually a really good Stone Cold face.
Oh, it's from JT Hosek.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, JT.
The professor.
I got to start assuming that whatever is, or stop assuming that whatever his name's on the label. Whoever sent it. Thank you, JT Hosek.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Ooh, there's something. There's some
man, that, was,
wrap
that must have been really taped up well.
It is. It's like an endless tape loop.
Yeah, that's not a very good Vince. It's still funny, though.
It looks kind of like Andre.
A little bit. This Vince is even way worse. Look at that one on back.
Hmm. That's rad. It's like I drew it.
You just ripped.
Hello. This item was. Who is this? Oh, this is from Steve and Sue. Hello. This item was purchased as a gift and includes the following message. Every friendo needs an old school Nintendo Legion of Doom game.
Oh, cool.
From JT.
JT Hosek.
The professor.
The professor.
It says best wishes from this Etsy site, Deadham Treasures. D-E-D-H-A-M, Dedham Treasures.
Thank you.
Steve and Suzanne. Different Steve, not Steve here. Oh, wow.
Oh, let me see.
Yeah, it's just an old WCW game. I want to make sure I didn't break something over here.
What did it fall on?
It's just the cardboard boxes.
Wow. That's cool. Let's give this a try.
Very dense. It's made of iron.
World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, man. We gotta do some more gaming in Raw.
Yeah. Let's answer some questions, though, now.
Let's do that, though, now.
Though now, answer questions.
Though now, answer questions.
Nemo, do you think the Attitude Era would have been the same if we know then what we know now about concussions?
Wait, what? Would the Attitude Era be different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to sit through that match between The Rock and Mankind at Rumble 99 when Mankind took, what, a dozen chair shots
to
the head?
Well, he wouldn't have. I think that's the question. He wouldn't have taken those chair shots. If what we know now, we knew then, they wouldn't have been, you know, assuming the climate was the same and people were like, oh, God, you can't do that stuff. They wouldn't have been doing all that stuff. The titillation's a bit different, though. I mean, titillation was a big thing in the Attitude Era. I mean, the Attitude Era, it was characters. I'm not necessarily sure that the unprotected chair shots and the, you know, the bloody stuff was necessary, although I think it helped. But I don't think it was necessary
for
what they did.
It wasn't.
You know, I mean, you could have Stone Cold versus McMahon. You can still have that, you know.
Without the, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so
at the basics, it was good characters.
Right.
JT the Professor Hosak are the Bludgeon Brothers WWE's response to the popularity of War Machine. Who would win if they were in the ring together, kayfabe-wise? How would you book it? I've thought that the Bludgeon Brothers is WWE's response to War Machine.
I don't know if it's like a response to War Machine. I mean, you think like that in a literal manner? Like, oh, look at War Machine. Let's do something like that?
Or maybe it's almost like, oh, this War Machine gimmick's pretty cool. Let's see what we can do with it.
Oh, maybe. That's always possible. But, you know, at the same... Let me ask you something. Who do you think came up with Bludgeon Brothers?
I can tell you Vince McMahon probably came up with the name.
Okay. I think Bludgeon Brothers, they seem like something... I would speculate on this. Because
you think Michael Hayes came up with it?
We've heard... It's possible. We've heard several times that Vince does not pay attention to wrestling outside of the WWE. In that case, I'd kind of hesitate to think that he actually knows about War Machine.
Oh, I don't know if he does, but, you know, if they were probably picking names, if there's a dozen names on the page, mm-hmm. and Bludgeon Brothers is one of them, something tells me that Vince is like, Bludgeon Brothers, I love that.
Oh, I could see that for sure.
I don't know if he has any idea who War Machine is.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, he didn't know when they rehired Raven.
I know. Exactly.
Years ago, so.
Who would win if they're in the ring together, kayfabe-wise? Well, I mean, I'm just saying this. The Bludgeon Brothers, they've been putting on squash matches against smaller opponents, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. War Machine.
Yeah, War Machine.
War Machine.
Manuel Garcia de Paredes. Hey, friendos, power rank. Other movements KO and Sami Zayn could get inspiration for, like the Yep movement.
Other movements. I mean, would you call Hulkamania a movement?
Yeah.
They could get some inspiration from Hulk. Hey, he's got a new pro wrestling t-shirt.
He does. Yeah.
Some good looking merch there. Still kind of iffy on the whole Hogan thing, yeah. though. You know? Mm-mm. Still kind of ugly.
Yeah. All right, this one's a little gross.
Okay.
A bowel movement because they want to flush Shay McMahon out of SmackDown Live.
It's not a little gross. It's literally disgusting. You're talking about Dookie. Poo-poo.
I mean, I heard about other movements, and the first thing that popped in my head was that.
That's good, man. That's good. I mean, it's really gross.
It's gross, and it's not that good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to contribute something.
That's good. Good job. Good job. We got two for you.
Yeah, there you go, two.
One is horribly disgusting, and the other is the bowel movement.
Power rank, other holiday songs Aiden English could sing with Rusev Day lyrics.
Rusev the Red Nosed Reindeer.
Okay, that's good.
I'm dreaming of a Rusev Christmas just like the ones Lana used to know. We can see Rusev and Lana in the mixed tag.
He was lobbying for it
mixed
on Twitter.
Match challenge.
He was lobbying for it.
They better do that.
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank on the obvious Christmas songs?
Have a holly jolly Rusev.
That's good, too.
I think I can do that.
You're knocking out of the park with your Christmas
songs. I love Christmas songs, man.
I know you do.
What about Rusev, it's cold outside, but I really can't stay. Rusev, it's cold outside, but I really can't. Machka. Woken Minato, which is most likely to happen? Shane heel turn or Orton heel turn? I don't know what constitutes a heel turn. I mean, okay, I'll put it this way. Shane, Daniel Bryan being the voice of reason against Shane trying to be crazy with power is a Shane heel turn.
It should be a Shane heel turn.
I feel like that's likely to happen
at
Clash. I think Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura will be doing all of a bunch of nothing as it pertains to aligning with people.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be there merely to try to win the match. There's nothing in it for them. So.
No, there's absolutely nothing in it for them.
They are going to want to win because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do if you're in a match.
Jason, I'm going to get Larson the Too Sweet King. Don't think you are. You
better have a lot of money there, Jason.
Who from NXT and 205 Live do you think will show up in the Rumble, even if only for the Rumble, not a full call-up?
I wonder if anybody was considering the $200,000 tier, but then saw that they'd have to pay an extra...
35 cents plus 2.9%.
$5,800 and 35 cents.
Yeah.
And then Patreon said, you're good to go.
Yes, no, it's just $200,000. Who from NXT or 205 Live do you want to see in the Rumble, but not necessarily for a full-time call-up?
Oh, no. Come on. Give Cash Asono at least one main roster moment.
That'd be good.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's good. I agree with that.
Oh, did you see Hideo Itami's debut?
Yeah, next week.
Next week on 205 Live. Kind of a very interesting main event scene. I wonder if they're probably just going to start him out like squashing jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Karen, you're not me, Borbin. Hey, friend. Hey. When do you think we will finally see Sami Zayn win his first title on the main roster? What title do you think it will be? Thanks. Tag titles.
Okay.
Him and Kevin Owens come in the
tag
titles.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. They might do that. They might do kind of a similar Shield type thing.
Alex C, Power Rank, worst NXT call-ups inspired by Bobby Roode.
Power Rank.
I mean, it's hard to botch a call-up worse than... Oh, Ty Dillinger's is really bad.
That's really bad, man.
He wasn't even he's not even on TV.
He's not even on TV. I got it next week. If I don't see him at Clash, if I don't see him on SmackDown,
you're gonna start doing the Who thing again.
I gotta do it. I have to do it, man. I do have to do it because you know what happened last time I did it, and he was back on TV.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Who is that man? That's Ty Dillinger.
Here we go. Great question with The Last Jedi coming out this weekend. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power Rank wrestlers who have the strongest connection to the Force.
Bray Wyatt, number one.
Woken Matt Hardy, number one.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's right. He's going to turn Bray Wyatt into a fantasy football guy, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
Woken Matt Hardy. Finn Balor.
Well, The Undertaker.
Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. Then The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Rusev, it's cold outside.
Tommy T, hey friend, so throughout all time, Power Rank five wrestlers that come to mind when someone says main eventer.
Power five guys that come to mind come when to you mind. Say
first two
main
are
eventer.
Bruno.
Me Hogan.
Ric Flair.
Yeah. Steve Austin.
John Cena. There's five.
There you go. Mr. Main Event.
Nightcrawler. Hey, guys, so my question, with this new crop of talent, every fan thinks they are all above every title, but who are some superstars from the newer generation of wrestlers that the hardcore fan base has to accept are mostly mid-carders? Sami Zayn comes to mind for me, even though I love him.
Oh, man, great question.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you just look, man? You got to come to terms with this.
You got to come to terms that Nakamura is going to be a mid-carder.
You got to come to terms with this, man. Bobby Roode's not a main eventer.
Ty Dillinger is not even a main eventer on Superstars.
You got to come to terms with Samoa Joe not being a main eventer. We have to come to terms with Finn Balor not being a main eventer.
Apparently.
But he is on Steven Larson Books Raw.
He is.
Yep. He is the biggest main eventer. Nicholas Combs, as an early Christmas gift to you guys, I bumped my pledge up to $20.
Thank you.
Monetized. Thank you very much. He says, now please tell me how to submit video questions for Matt Chat.
So,
I just want to put my video on Matt Chat.
So Matt Chat's done for 2017. It's going to come back 2018. We're going to make some changes to our schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
So what will happen is beginning of the week, post a thread on Patreon. You post a link to your question there. You can also email it to us at StephenLarson@gmail.com.
Correct. Yeah.
Those are the two ways to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we got a bunch of countouts. We got to do all our best of lists for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Which is only like 3 weeks, and then it's going to be back every
Matt
single week.
Matt Chat's taking a powder.
Matt Chat's going to be back strong on Sundays. And then on, I think we decided on Saturdays, we're going to rotate count out and going in raw views. Right?
Well, I think it'll be count outs. It'll be two count outs, one going in raw view, and then we'll do WWF.
Two count outs, one going in raw. I still say WWF. Oh, by the way, I broke away to make WWF perpetual. Because your problem with it was.
I still don't know if there's enough things to cover.
But here's the thing, there is. You know why? Because you know what I've been doing on my channel every once in a while? Mm. I do stuff like the Aleister Black gimmick battle royal.
All right.
So we take like stupid stuff like that along with the real stuff.
Well, that wasn't the point of WWE.
Wrestling what ifs. What if all the biggest hosses in the WWE universe across time got together in a ring? It's still a wrestling what if.
It is a wrestling what if.
It doesn't have to be a this could have happened, because it's not WC if. It's not wrestling what could have happened.
I know, but the whole point of it was to take feuds that could have, that seemed to be
hold on a
on
second.
The horizon,
yeah.
Talk about historically, and then see how the actual match would play
out. Wasn't it my idea in the first place? I think WWF was my baby.
But I came up with the name.
Yeah, I know. But your name still works.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Sounds good. Wait, what?
What?
Mark Nico. With the recent interview John Cena had with WrestleTalk, he believes there are no more true heels and or faces because of the span of age groups in the crowd that won't allow for it to be so. He also believes there will never be another lone top guy because of the diversity of the crowd. So because of this, Power Rank replacement names for heels and faces. Everybody's a tweener, apparently.
Well, I think he's talking about his own reaction, Roman Reigns' reaction, where, you know, there's a portion of the audience that always cheers for Cena and always boos for Cena.
Same with Roman Reigns. Talking to WrestleTalk? Can we have a freaking interview with John Cena? What the heck's up with that?
What are we? How do we get in line for that?
What are we?
I want to do that.
I want to do that stuff.
Talk to him about Ferdinand.
WrestleTalk, isn't that Ollie Davis?
I think so.
Why does he get all the juicy interviews? Where's our scoops? Can we have some of his crumbs? Can we get a Curt Hawkins interview?
There we go. I'll take that.
Can we get a Ty Dillinger interview for
I would love
sake?
That.
What the heck?
I would absolutely love that.
Spread the love, man. Support going in raw. Let's see here.
One more. Then
that's
we'll do
interesting.
Trivia.
He thinks there's never going to be another alone time guy.
Matthew Williams Esquire says the interview was because of Ferdinand. His movie, his animated film.
Again, I like animated films.
You do, as do I.
I mean, we have kids.
I've done junkets before.
What the heck? Where's our guy to get that done?
I don't know.
To get our in.
We'll work on that.
With the Ferdinand stuff.
Well, I think that ship has already sailed.
Yeah. Ferdinand, hey. Well, let's figure out a way
out
to get
this weekend. It's going to go head-to-head against Star Wars.
Let's get a...
I think...
Anyways,
have you got your Star Wars tickets yet?
No.
You gonna see it this weekend? You should.
No, man. We should.
I want to talk about it.
Going there with a bunch of flipping nerds.
Yeah, I'm one of those
weekend.
Nerds.
Did you? Why didn't you get me a ticket?
Because I'm going with my wife.
Oh, what the heck? I don't want to be a third wheel.
Exactly.
I have a wife of my own who has no interest.
I'm
in telling
her to handle your own business.
Well, you're also telling me to go see it.
I don't
like doing opening weekend. When's it coming on Netflix? Next weekend?
Oh my gosh.
Same day as theaters.
Yeah.
Same day as theaters.
Before theaters. It's on
iTunes.
It's on Comcast VOD right now.
Before theaters.
Yeah, let's do trivia.
My trivia card's on the ground.
I'll pick it up then.
Pick it up. Trivia card, where'd you go? Oh. Found my trivia card. Rusev, it's cold outside.
All right, I'll start. We'll start with classic. Big events.
Big events.
What was the name of the strange creature that hatched from a giant egg of Survivor Series 1990?
The gobbledygooker? Bang. Big events.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was the first superstar to win consecutive Rumbles, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was the third. Who was the second superstar to win
Shawn
two
Michaels.
Rumbles in a row?
Shawn Michaels.
Wrong. It was the Heartbreak Kid.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels.
Champion.
How do you spell Shawn? I'm going to make sure it's the right.
S-H-A-W-N.
Oh, wrong. It's with a U.
Wrong. Championships. Who defeated Bret Hitman Hart for the WWE Championship at 1994 Survivor Series more than a decade after his previous reign as champion?
What year? Oh, Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
Championships. Henry O. and Phineas what?
Godwin.
Okay, there you go. There is a longer version of that question, but I took the fast route.
What was the name of the colorful macaw that WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware would bring to the ring for his matches?
What was the color of it?
No, the name.
Oh, the name. Oh, you said the colorful macaw.
Yeah.
What was the name?
Yeah.
What was Coco Beware's macaw's name?
Yeah.
I don't know. Brian.
Frankie.
Oh, dang it. Oh, well. Good try at me.
Yeah.
Superstar Bio. What former Intercontinental Champion would finish off his opponents with his shake, rattle, and roll?
Honky Tonk Man.
That makes me want a milkshake, yeah.
Yeah. On to Attitude Era.
Okay.
Who did John Cena defeat at Vengeance 2002, Cena's WWE pay-per-view debut?
Baby, it's cold outside. Rusev can't stay. Who did he defeat, huh?
Yeah.
Was it... 2002. Was it... Man, I'm super drawing a blank right now. Tyson Tomko.
Chris Jericho.
Really?
That's what the card says.
Oops. Who received an big events?
Mm-hmm.
Who received an unwanted haircut thanks to losing a hair versus hair match versus X-Pac? X-Pac at SummerSlam 1998.
Did you know the answer to this one?
I probably would have drawn a blank, but maybe?
So that was DX feuding with... I don't know.
Jeff Jarrett.
Oh.
It's when he went from having a mullet...
The long hair, yeah.
To the short hair.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Championship. What other Right to Censor member teamed with the Good Father to win the World Tag Team Championships in November 2000?
Bull Buchanan?
Yes, good job.
Who was awarded the Championships?
Championships.
Who was awarded the WWE Hardcore title by Mr. McMahon?
Mankind.
1998, very good.
Your last question, Superstar Bio, who's known as the Texas Rattlesnake? I need an answer.
Steve Williams.
Thank you.
Superstar Bio. What was the name of the masked superstar that appeared on SmackDown after McMahon fired Hulk Hogan in 2003? What did he call himself?
The Proud American?
Close, but no. Mr. America.
Darn it.
I got four.
I got four, too.
Really? Yeah. I felt like you did better than me in that
one. I got Mr. America.
Evidently not. Mr. America, brother. I think I would have remembered that one. Anyways, what a great episode we had today.
Fantastic show.
Do you feel good about today's show?
Yeah, it was fine.
I feel good about today's show.
Yeah, it was decent enough.
Awesome. Very good. Anyways, I want to thank everybody for I just messed up the show. Blew it all up. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Where's Goodbye. Some music? I need some music. Get somebody, Hilton, can you get some music for us?
There's no Hilton in here, just
thank you, Hilton, for queuing up the music. We're going to get that guy on camera one of these days. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.